It's good to be with you today. You notice that I have got a bunch of stuff kind of around me this morning. Well, you know, sometimes in our lives we have we just got a lot of clutter. You know, think about it during New Year's. Often a time where we want to say, "Hey, I've got things in my life I want to clean up. I've got maybe bad habits. I want to make better habits." And we kind of look at the clutter in our lives and think, "I think I need to declutter some of the stuff that's in my life, kind of get things cleaned up." Well, we're going to start a series today that's called Make Space, and it's all about the goal of working to declutter some of the bad maybe habits of thinking that we have, maybe that is cluttering up our mind, so we're not thinking as clearly as we could be, and so it's keeping us from maybe the peace that is waiting for us that God wants to really bless us with in our life. So, you know, there is there's a story that Jesus told one day, and that story is called the parable of the talents. You know, that parable had a guy who owned a lot of property, and he had some folks that worked for him. And Jesus tells a story that there were three servants, three people that worked for him. And the master was going on a long journey, and he said, "I want you three to handle these talents, this amount of money, and I want you to handle it according to your abilities." So he said, "The guy that has five talents, I want you to handle those. The guy that here has two talents, I want you to handle those. And one guy had one talent, and I want you to handle that." So they all had their assignments. The master leaves, and the guy that had the five entrusted to him, he went and he made five more. And the guy that had two went and made two more. But unfortunately, the guy that only had one talent, he decided to bury his in the ground and not do anything with it. Well, one day, the master returns, and he, like any good business owner would do, he goes back to him and he asks the question, "Well, how did you do?" The guy that had five said, "I made you five more." The guy with two, "I made you two more." He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master's happiness." Well, then the guy that had one didn't do so well. He said, "Master, I know that you're a person that, you know, you sow where you don't reap. And so I took yours and I buried it in the ground. And so here's your one back." And that master wasn't very happy with him. And he said, "You know, you should have at least taken that and deposited it into the bank so that you could have made at least some interest on it. You could have increased what you had, even if just a little bit. You should have at least done that." So he took what he had from him, gave it to one of the others, and he said, basically, "Depart from me, you wicked and lazy servant." Isn't that a wild story? Well, that story is one that gives us some ideas on how I think we can make space in our lives for financial peace. And just, you know, emotional peace, spiritual peace. And so let's talk about that. Let's see what this story could give us. Well, you can, as you see, maybe if you can see around me a little bit here, I've got some stuff just randomly put together just around me. And I wouldn't normally have this stuff on stage, you know, right next to me. But I put it here because it's kind of like having clutter in a room. You know, when we have a room that we need to clean, we often want to take the clutter, get rid of some things, put some things in the right places, and then we can look and go, "This is the way it's supposed to be. And I feel a lot better about that." And that's what we're doing. The first part of, I think, how we can declutter our mind and make space is to remember that God is the owner. He's the provider. You know, Matthew 25, verse 14, Jesus is really the master in this story, and he entrusts the talents to those servants. They really belong to the master, right? And we understand that the master is really Jesus Christ, the Lord himself. And so we're to learn from this that, hey, God's really the owner. He's the provider. It's really not me. But the clutter sometimes in the room of our minds is when we think that actually we're the owner. We feel like, you know what? This is really mine. I bought it. The receipt has my credit card maybe, or my, you know, I pay cash for this. I worked for that money. And you know what? It's really mine. Well, actually, no, it's not really yours, because the truth is that everything that you and I have has come from God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the scriptures say, in the beginning, God created. So really, everything that we have, right? My stuff, my money, my life, my family, it all really has found its beginning in God. And that's one of the key principles for decluttering the way we think about me, my stuff, and God, to help give us financial and personal peace and a spiritual peace. We put God in the right position. We let him be the master instead of us trying to take on that role of being the master. Psalm says that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. It's a way of poetically saying that it really, everything belongs to him and finds its origin in him. And he gives it to us to be able to use. So let God be head of your family, head of your finances, head of your stuff, head of yourself, your life, your relationships. Let him be the head of your job. You may work for that employer, but ultimately, God's the one provided you that job. Work for the Lord as you go to work. Pay off that car. Pay it off as paying unto the Lord in a sense, right? So we'll be careful with that analogy. But, you know, hey, it's come from the Lord. Let me take good care of that as a way of staying in my lane so he can be the owner and the provider, and I will be the one that is managing it. Which kind of takes me to my next principle for decluttering our mind. God has really entrusted us with all the stuff and the finances, everything that we have. And you've already heard me say that. But sometimes in our minds, we have some cluttered way of thinking in some different ways. Because one part of that clutter in our room may be the thought that, you know what, I'm afraid of losing what I have. I've worked hard for it, and I want to keep it, and I'm afraid of losing it. So I'm going to hold pretty tight to it because I don't want to let it go, because I don't know what it would be like to not have it. I want to keep it. Well, sometimes that clutter is saying, you know what? I'm afraid that if I use this and I, you know, make a mistake, I'm gonna offend God. He gave it to me. I don't want to mess it up. I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. And so we just kind of, we set it on a mantle and we just sort of hold it there and we don't do anything with it. We're afraid of making a mistake. Or maybe we think, you know what? I got one, I want five. I want three, right? I want more. Sometimes greed and selfish thinking is cluttered thinking in our head, and it robs us of financial peace, personal peace, spiritual peace, peace about the things that we have that are ours. So what can we do with that? Well, I believe one of the keys is to think and to embrace in our head, okay, I want to be content with what I have. I have what I have. I just want to be content with it. So I would say, here's the deal. You may be a one-talent servant. In other words, you may be somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of personal possessions and finances, and you may wish you had more, but you just don't. So be content with what you have. Don't be that two-talent servant or that five-talent servant, because that's just not you. If you're a one-talent servant, be a one-talent servant. Own that and do the best you can with where you are, with what you have. But on the other hand, listen, if you're a five-talent servant, then be a five-talent servant, right? So if you have a lot, use it to increase it. You are going to do volume materially, financially, more than the one or the two, but that's where you are. You're a five-talent servant. So yeah, more is expected of you than it is, let's say, of the one talent. Did you notice in the parable, in the story, that when the master talked to the five-talent and the two-talent, that he did not say that the five was any better than the two? If you read the story, he gives them the exact same response. So, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Their reward was based on their faithfulness to do what they could, with what they had in the time that they had given to them. That's what mattered. And that was the challenge. The one talent servant, he didn't do what he could with what he had. He let fear drive his decision making. And he allowed fear to be more valuable than the favor of the master. I think that'll preach right there, huh? Do you find that maybe sometimes you're giving in to fear more than you are embracing and desiring the favor of the master? If I'm confessing the truth, I would say there's been many a times that I have wrestled with that very thing. But even though we wrestle with it, we can still overcome it in Christ. And that's the hope that we have, really, is that I am who I am, but I can do what I can do by the power of Christ in me. And if I'm a one talent, I'm a one talent. That is great. Christ died for me, and the Spirit of God is within me, and I can do what I can do for the glory of God that will please Him as a one-talent servant just as much as a five-talent servant can, because Jesus died for the one and the five just as equally. You don't have to be somebody you're not. You don't have to let greed, selfishness, fear of making a mistake, fear of losing out and being gone and not having. No, listen. The Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created it. He can sustain it. He can sustain you. The Lord has got you. We want to let faith lead us in that position of saying, okay, He's entrusted me, so here I go. I want to impact the world with what I have for the sake of the kingdom. If you've got the one, say, my job is to take the one I have, invested in making disciples, serving the poor, blessing people around me in the name of Jesus Christ. To take and use what I have to increase the kingdom's impact in the world now. That's my responsibility. That's a key message in this parable for us. That's a key message, that when we work in that, with that idea in our head, and we start to act on it, it takes some of the clutter and it just sort of moves it out of the way, right? And it opens up space for us, that we can have peace, and there's order which we can sort of live in and move in without being so cramped in with stuff that's just vying for our attention. We can just sort of freely rest in the truth of that space around us. Ah, God's provider and owner, He's entrusted me. I want to use it the best I can to impact His kingdom and not just sit on it or squander it. I have been. I've been working with our missions team. And, you know, we started a few months ago meeting again, hadn't met for a while, and we started asking a question, thinking, okay, who are we as a church? Where our passions lie? What is God calling us to do? To share the gospel, bless the hungry and the needy, bless other people. What is it that God's calling us to do based on who we are and who He's brought together to be the New Hope family? And so we start asking questions. Okay, well, what are we doing? Why are we doing that? Because we want to make sure that what we are doing is the right thing, that we're going to be that one or two talent or five talent, right, servant who's going to take what we got, make the most of it, if you will, to make the most impact for the kingdom right where we are, because that's our responsibility. And so we've had conversations exploring that, and you're going to be hearing, our New Hope family, y'all are going to be hearing in the month of February some new opportunities, a couple of new opportunities that we're going to be partnering with for ministry in other parts of the world, but also regionally. And so stay tuned for that. You don't want to miss that. We began to realize that when we make financial decisions, those are actually spiritual decisions. You follow me? So if God's really the owner of what I have in my wallet, or even as the church, when I make that financial decision on how to use whatever, however much I have, actually that's a spiritual decision. Because that's a decision that my faith is really leading, taking the lead on, versus my own personal wishes or preferences or likes or dislikes. It's really about what's going to further the impact right where I'm at of what the Lord has already given to me. And so what we experienced was when as a team, mission team, when we started asking those types of questions, that, you know, it started to put the right things in the right places. It started to kind of organize the room and give us some direction, and it just felt a lot more peaceful. It felt comfortable because we know what we have. We know who we are in a sense of where God's leading us. And it just brought financial peace. It brought spiritual peace, just emotional peace. You just kind of just exhale, you know? Doesn't it feel good to do that sometimes? Yeah, that kind of moment, right? All right. Well, are you ready for the third one? All right, here it comes. So maybe you've got a cluttered mind and we're trying to declutter. Well, the third principle that I find helps us to make space is God will reward good managers. So God will reward good managers. And, you know, that idea really has to do with the fact that God holds all of us accountable to what we've been given. And, you know, we saw that in the story as the master came home, remember? And he talked to all three of them. He said, "What'd you do with what I gave you?" And he praised the two, the five and the two talents. And then he judged the one because he didn't use it wisely to benefit the family, the business, which was a metaphor for the kingdom and the work of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So some of the clutter, I think, can be thinking that, well, I can really do whatever I want because I have my own prerogative, right? I have my own plans. I know what I want, and I know where I want to go, and I know what I want to do, and I know it feels good, and I know it makes me happy in a sense of as it pertains to this material thing or the money in my wallet or my checkbook or, you know, whatever it is. And we put sometimes my prerogative ahead of God's plan for me, thinking, well, I have the final say. But no, God does when we stand before Him, because it's His. He entrusted it to us, and He wants to reward those who are good managers of what He's given them, but He'll also hold accountable those who have squandered or wasted what He's given to them. Does that make you nervous? It makes me feel a little nervous, to be honest, because it's like, oh man, I know there's been times where I haven't made the most of what God has given to me. I've squandered, you know, some things sometimes. It does make me feel a little nervous. But that was kind of the intent of Jesus telling this parable. to the people he was talking to. He was in Matthew 25, and it's part of Matthew 24 and 25. If you were to look in the gospel right there of Matthew, you would see Jesus telling multiple parables that are pointing to his audience's lack of awareness and concern for living out the purpose of the kingdom of God on earth, and not thinking or being aware, trying to what's the word? they weren't thinking about the return of the Messiah. They were just sort of living in the here and the now, without regard for the very fact that God is a just God, and there will come a day when He will separate the sheep and the goats, when He will praise the faithful and judge the foolish. He will take to His side for all of eternity the body of Christ, and those who are not within the body of Christ will be separated from God for eternity. But that is a truth that is as relevant as any truth in the world. We just probably don't think about it too much because we just don't know when it's happening. And life, we're in the midst of life, you know? And you feel like, I got enough stuff going on in my own life. You know, it's like, I don't want to be worrying about all that. And we don't have to worry about it. Just be aware and remember that what I'm doing today matters for the very end of the finish line. And I want to keep the room of my mind decluttered with foolish thinking about me, my stuff, and God, my finances, by remembering that, okay, all that's really God's, and at the end of it all, God will hold me accountable for how I have handled and used it all for the purpose of the kingdom. Just that simple truth is a powerful way to declutter our minds and bring about a greater sense of peace. So think of the future in the present. Maybe that's a simple way we could put that. And let hope be your guide instead of fear or possible making a mistake or selfishness or greed. And maybe this statement can stick in your head. What we do with what we have reveals what we believe. It reveals what we value. Let's say that again. What we do with what we have reveals to God and others what we believe. In other words, what you value. You and I, we're going to typically do what we value. Sometimes we may aspire to do X, but the reality is that Y is our real value. We're not at X yet. We aspire to that, but really, we're going to end up doing this. So what we do with what we have reveals what we believe. So know what you believe. Confess it. Own it. Maybe you need to repent of what you've been in the habit of believing, the clutter that's really been in your mind. Maybe you've already been cleaning out some of the clutter. Hey, give God praise for that and rejoice at where you are. That's awesome. And if you need to, keep organizing and keep cleaning out and keep putting the right things in the right places in your mind, because that leads to financial peace, emotional, spiritual peace. It makes a huge difference in our lives. We got enough chaos and craziness in the world right now. Every little thing that we can do with God and each other to raise up a spirit of peace in us, I think we probably ought to jump on it, right? So I'm hoping that we'll be committed in our families and church and in our own personal lives to make space, put the right things, the right ideas in the right place, so that we can experience more peace. I hope that as we are taking this journey into a series called Make Space, that maybe as hard-hitting and uncomfortable as it is to talk about money, that will all sign on to say, look, money's a part of my life. Can't get away from it. Need it to actually just live and survive and buy things, take care of my family, myself, pay my bills. It's just part of life. And that's great. But how do we handle it in a way that helps us to have peace, enjoy God's blessings, honor God, be a blessing to other people, help the work of the church to reach out into the world more than even more and more to help people know and experience God's love? All that's supposed to go together. So my hope is that as we come into part two next Sunday, that we'll do so remembering, all right, God's the owner provider, number one. Number two, he's entrusted me with my stuff, my money, my whole life. Okay. Number three, I need to give an account to him for how I handled what he gave me, and I know that he's going to reward good managers because he is a just God. And so therefore, Lord, I'm asking you, help me do the best I can with what I have in the moments that are right in front of me so that you are blessed and the people around me are blessed for your glory. Because it's really all about you, Lord. You are God. Let my life serve you. What do you think? Can you do it? Yes, by God's grace, you can do it. Absolutely. And I'm right behind you. I'm praying for you. If you need help, we'd love to be able to come alongside you and help out. I really think this is a great opportunity for us as we're coming into a new year to take a look at how we think about our stuff and ourselves and God and say, if I've got some clutter, let me put things in the right places and get rid of maybe some stinking thinking so I can have room for peace and better, healthier thinking as I keep going through this year. Well, with that being said, I want to ask you if I could pray for you this morning and pray for all of us, pray for myself as well, because this hits home for me probably as much as it does maybe for you, and I need help in this area too. So together, let's get through it with God's grace and see what amazing things God can do in our lives as we make space. God, I love you and I thank you so very much that you know the plans you have for us, not to harm us, but to prosper us for a bright future that's with you and your church. And right now, with the way of what's happening in the world, in our nation, in the world, we know that there's always uncertainty, but you have said that we can declutter that stuff that vies for our attention and our mind, and we can walk in peace and experience not only spiritual peace, but financial peace as we remember that you're providing and owning it all, you're entrusting and giving and sustaining our lives, and you're going to reward us for using it for your glory by the power of your grace through Christ in us. And on that truth, we are standing firm, and help us to be able to stand and be followers of Jesus who are deeply committed to being the body in the world so that the world will know that we are your disciples through the lives we live. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for your patience today as we work through a little bit of technical glitches, but we got there, and I'm glad that you're with us today. May the Lord bless you as you go forth out into the world, whatever you're doing. May you serve the Lord in love and peace and keep making space. You'll be glad you did. Have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday.